It's not the first time I have mentioned how exciting it is to work at Vatican Radio. You really do get the chance of meeting all sorts of people from all over the world and becoming acquainted with an incredibly wide range of issues, initiatives and ideas. This week the subject is music and a very special orchestra that's aim is to empower young people of Ireland to help their country heal, renew and transform. Yes, the Cross Border Orchestra of Ireland, based in the border town of Dundalk, was founded in 1995 at a landmark moment in Irish history, the implementation of a long-term peace process. And as the founder and director of the orchestra, Sharon Tracy Dunn, explained to my colleague, Lydia O'Kane, herself a musician, its primary aim is to eliminate cultural, religious, social and economic barriers among young people in border areas, establishing the building blocks for future generations of peace. From Ireland, she was all
of 15 years. It was founded 13 years ago, as you say, just after the first ceasefire in Ireland. And it was to be a method of bringing young people from both sides of the border together from the two different communities and traditions through the medium of music. At the time, I was teaching in a convent school just south of the border, where a town called Dundalk, which was known as El Paso, and there was very little culture, very little emphasis on arts. So although the convent that I was teaching in had a store of instruments, the instruments were put in an attic and hadn't been used for years and years. So I thought that this maybe was my golden opportunity to do what I could for peace in Ireland and for the peace process. And my idea was to get the instruments renovated, done up and start giving them out to students, which is what we did. And then joined up with one school across the border and eventually more and more schools across the border. Finally, then in 2002, we opened the orchestra up to all young people on both sides of the border. So you didn't have to be in a particular school in order to be in the orchestra. And that was it. And it just has developed and grown from then.
Sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Well, that's what most people would think. But Sharon explained to Lydia that it actually got off to a somewhat rocky start.
As somebody who had grown up on the border, I thought that people would think this was a fantastic idea and that they'd be delighted to get involved and to get their young people involved. But in fact, we encountered a huge amount of opposition. People were very much against it. It was viewed as a method of brainwashing young people, of destroying their culture, of a way of taking from them instead of this unbelievable way of giving to them, giving them incredible opportunities. So it's actually miraculous that it survived and that we kept it going, because the opposition was so strong for years and years. And I would say that it's only now, 13 years on, that it's becoming easier to bring the two communities together.
Did you come from a musical background yourself? Was music always a part of your life, that in some way that you knew music was going to come to fruition? Yeah. In some shape or form?
I'd learned violin and piano. My mother was a great singer. You know, I always played in the church choir. I played the organ for 25 years. I started when I was 8. And so, it was always a huge thing. But then it was like when the peace process happened, it was, how could you contribute? You know, how could an ordinary person contribute? And that was the only way that I saw that I could, you know, make my little contribution to peace. And so I never imagined that it would turn out to be as huge as it did, or to impact as much as it did.
Let's talk about some of the types of music that the orchestra performs, the instruments used, what kind of music that you would play, what kind of scores you would use.
The thing is that at the beginning, when the orchestra started, everybody was a beginner in the orchestra, because we were giving out instruments and saying, come on, you can be part of this. So we were playing very simple pop tunes that kids would like and that they'd be able to play. But over the years, the orchestra has got much better and the standard has gone up and gone up. And of course, then our national conductor, Gerard Grant, conducts it and has conducted it now for the past 8 years. So the standard is huge now. It's very, very high standard. So what we actually started doing, again, to try and encourage people from both communities to join the orchestra, is we're taking themes and anthems from traditional Irish music and from the Protestant culture, and we fuse those tunes and create incredible pieces of music. And actually, it's a guy in Los Angeles called Brian Byrne, who's one of the top film score writers in Los Angeles. He's an Irish guy, and he writes these scores for us. So that's the type of music, again, to celebrate culture, to celebrate the joint culture, and to show that we're not a threat to anybody.
So everybody has a chance, wherever you're from, whatever particular community you're from, if you have a particular instrument that is from your community, that it's where you're welcome
absolutely.
To be played.
Absolutely, and that's what you're getting at, is the bagpipes and the Highland pipes that we use. Yes, we have a full piping section in the orchestra, because of course the pipes are associated with the Ulster Scots tradition and Northern Ireland tradition, and so we have a full piping section, and we do lots of music from that culture as well. And we have Uilleann pipes from the Irish tradition, and low whistles and so on, along with then the 160 other symphonic instruments, violins and cellos and flutes and clarinets and everything else.
And the CBOI, Sharon explained, goes well beyond the reality of the orchestra and its concerts. It includes a successful music education programme, exchange programmes between young Irish and American musicians, and a number of other cross-border projects.
One of the things that we hope to do in the border region is to start a free music education programme for children aged 3 and 4, that we'd actually be able to give them free music lessons for a couple of years. We're also trying to build up an instrument bank, and we've bought quite a lot of instruments so we can lend those out to children once they get a little bit older, so that parents aren't prevented from sending their children to music lessons because of the cost of lessons or because of the cost of instruments. And in that way, then we hope to get them hooked, you know, and then involve them in orchestras and involve them in playing music, because it's absolutely invaluable.
Have you found that over the years that there's less and less of a threat, that people feel, well, it's for everybody and everyone can join in from every community? Has that become more apparent as the years have gone by?
It has, but really and truly only recently. And I think that one of the big things that helped that was the change in the music from just doing pop music to actually celebrating, outwardly celebrating the music of the different cultures and the instruments of the different cultures. And once people from both communities could see that that's what we were doing, that we were not a threat to you, we want to celebrate you and your culture and your tradition, then they started joining more willingly. But that's only recent.
Now, the reason the Cross Border Orchestra of Ireland was in Rome, and Sharon at the radio speaking to Lydia, was to celebrate an historic 400th anniversary commemoration, with two concerts in two Roman churches of different denomination. The anniversary was of the so-called Flight of the Earls.
400 years ago, the two main historical characters in Ireland, or High Kings, if you like, or Earls as they were called, were Hugh O'Neill and Hugh O'Donnell. And they had been engaged all of their lives in wars against the British. But finally, exactly 400 years ago, they fled from Ireland in fear of their lives, because Queen Elizabeth was sending huge armies to Ireland. And they hoped to come to Spain, to raise an army in Spain and come back to Ireland and fight again. But the Spanish had signed an Anglo-Spanish agreement and weren't happy about the Earls coming to Spain. They went to France, and again, France wasn't really happy because they were in negotiations with England as well. And the only place that would welcome them was Rome. And they came to the people of Rome and to the Pope. They walked from France to Rome, and the Pope took them in and gave them sanctuary. And they never returned to Ireland. They lived and they died in Rome. So this is exactly the 400th anniversary of when they walked from France to Rome and were met by the Pope and the people of Rome and taken in and given sanctuary. So there have been commemorations going on in Ireland for about 18 months. But the Irish government wanted the final commemoration to be in Rome, as that's the place, the most appropriate place for it to be. So because the orchestra then represents unity after years and years and years and generations of strife, they are again the most appropriate group to perform at this, because we've young people from the two different traditions.
And music is the kind of thing that crosses every divide, isn't it? It crosses every cultural divide. It crosses different barriers, social barriers, economic barriers, religious barriers. Have you seen this with music, that it has kind of been a method of promoting peace, music itself?
Absolutely. I mean, you see it through the children of the orchestra, that once they sit down to work together towards a common goal through this international language of music, that they start to get on and they don't know who necessarily they're sitting beside, where they're from or anything about them, and they're just focused on the common goal. And we've seen so many people from completely different traditions and backgrounds becoming lifelong friends. And also what we've noticed is that children from Northern Ireland now may be wanting to go to college in Dublin, and vice versa. Children from this side looking at going to education in Northern Ireland or even in England, which is something that they wouldn't have considered in the past at all. So it is because we travel very much between North and South, and do concerts in the Waterfront Hall in Belfast and the Ulster Hall and then the Helix in Dublin and so on. They're very used to travelling North and South. And so it opens their minds completely and breaks down all barriers.
Yeah.